Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of the book of Hebrews, and we're in the second chapter, at the end of the second chapter. And we're seeing a couple of big picture things. Remember, the whole thing with Hebrews is this, that Jesus is better. We've seen that He is a better word than what was spoken before. It's very first two verses of the book. The writer says, you know, God in past times spoke to our fathers through the prophets in many and varied type of ways. But in these last days, He's spoken to us through His Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And as you go through the book, you find out that this is a better word. Now, hear this carefully. It doesn't mean that the previous things were inferior. It doesn't mean they're not important. In the balance of the first chapter and a major portion of the second chapter, we're seeing how Jesus is better than the angels. Well, this is not to diss angels. No, angels have a role. They have a function. But Jesus is better than the angels. So we're going to see more and more of these things that are mentioned that Jesus is better than. And so what should our response be? Well, we haven't quite got there yet, but we're seeing some elements of it. Our response is that we believe. Okay, Jesus is better. Keep believing. We've already been told in the first part of the second chapter here to do a couple things, not to neglect our salvation, to make sure that we pay close attention to it, that we not drift away from it. So that gives us insight into the fact that it's possible to drift away. It's possible to not give close attention to it, okay? So He's warning us about these things. But then He tells us in the book of the second chapter, He gives tremendous truths about Jesus. And I'm going to pick up the 14th verse. We covered the 14th, 15th, and 16th verse in the last episode. But I want to read them again. Then we're going to look at the last two verses of the chapter. Beginning with verse 14, it says this. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself, that's Jesus, likewise, also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. So in verses 14 and 15 there, we see that Jesus took on the form of flesh. Why did He do that? Well, we see several reasons that are given in Scripture, several right here, as a matter of fact. But the primary one here is that He had to die. And to die, He had to have a body. He took on the form of flesh. Well, why was death required? Well, He was going to render death powerless by proving that He had power over death, which He did when He was dead, buried, and then resurrected from the dead. So by that act, He rendered powerless the devil, the one who has power over death. Not only that, but He set those who believe free, because there's no more fear of death. Most people who are true believers don't fear death. They fear the process of dying, you know, because it's uncertain. We're not sure how it's going to happen or what's going to happen. And is there suffering involved? Is there pain involved? And all that kind of thing. And so He say, no, there is no fear of death. And because of that fear of death, they had been subject to slavery, the slavery that fear brings upon life. And we talked a little bit about that before. So many true believers, people who really are believers, get tripped up by being anxious, by fear. So many who profess to be believers are just consumed with fear. With me, that's one of the ways you can sort of tell if somebody's a true believer or not. There's actually a lot of ways. You know, we're told to be fruit inspectors related to such. And if someone is just consumed with fear, okay, consumed with fear, then, you know, I tell them, hey, you probably need to examine yourself, as 2 Corinthians says, to see a fear of the faith. Now, let's continue. Verse 16 says this, for assuredly He, Jesus, does not give help to angels, but He gives help to the descendants of Abraham. So He did this for the descendants of Abraham, for mankind. Now, listen to verses 17 and 18 again. Therefore, He had to be made like His brethren in all things. He had to be made like us in all things. He had to be human. He had to take on that form of flesh. And we're about to see that He had to undergo the same temptations that we undergo. Now, as I mentioned last time, it's not the same type of things. Jesus did not undergo the temptation of blowing a car horn at somebody that was irritating you the way they were driving. But you know what? He had to undergo that temptation of irritation, the temptation of being mad about a situation, okay, that type of thing. So sometimes people get twice too cute with these things, right? So he had to be made like brethren in all things. Why? So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. We see that he became a merciful and faithful high priest. We're going to see more about this in Hebrews because he wasn't of the Aaronic line. He was of the line of Melchizedek, the order of Melchizedek. Well, what is that all about? Well, we will see. Also, you say, well, a faithful high priest, he's not of the line that would become a priest. How could that be? And not only is he a merciful, faithful high priest, we're going to find out that he is the most high priest. He's the great high priest, the one above all that had ever been. But he had to do this in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And that's one of those kind of words people go, yeah, I know what that means, sort of. I mean, it's a religious word. It's like a God word. I hear it mentioned from time to time, but, you know, I'm not really sure what it means. When you look it up, the first thing you see in some of the resources, it says to be propitious, to make propitiation. You know, well, that doesn't help, does it? Well, it carries the idea of reconciliation, of atonement, atoning for something. And Zodiotti's probably said it best in his writings about this, is that he's the one that causes God to be propitious or merciful towards sinful man. In other words, what Jesus did for us causes the Father to be merciful for us because Jesus took on the sin. Okay? He took on the sin. Therefore, we do not have to bear the burden. He has already bore the burden for us. It's really an amazing word, an amazing concept. We get ideas and understanding of it, but the more you look at it, it's like the more I don't understand it, you know? But I do know this. He had to be made like us to do this, to take on and to make propitiation for the Father's mercy to be released because of the sins of the people. Then verse 18, for since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, he's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. There is the bottom line with everything. That's what he was leading to in this whole first chapter, second chapter we've examined so far. And we're going to see later on in the letter that these people, they're believers, okay? They're true believers. He calls them brethren all the way through. They're Jewish in background. Okay, we know that because he talks to them, quoting from the Old Testament and all the things of the law that they would have been raised in and they knew about. But they were undergoing temptation, but also trials and tribulations. I mean, they were being in prison. Some really negative things were happening to them. And he wanted them to know from the beginning that Jesus has undergone the same type of thing. He's undergone temptation in that which he has suffered, the trials and the tribulation. And the great hope is this, that he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. We are not alone whenever we are tempted. We are not alone whenever we have trials or tribulations suffered. Jesus went through the same exact thing, and because he took on the form of flesh, that he can come and not only just say, yeah, I understand, he can come to the aid, Isn't that what it says? He's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. He comes and he helps those who are tempted. That is a great, great thing for us to know, for us to understand. Well, again, I'm Dale. My time is up. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.